listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit livingthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 209 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm stunningly well. And amazing. Incredible.
I'm just trying to do a quick bit of maths, but yeah, last episode, 208, was our four-year anniversary. I didn't even remember.
Wow.
Funny thing about numbers, isn't it? And
yeah.
Why we celebrated 200.
Yeah.
We should have really celebrated 208. Birthday-wise.
You mean that should have been a bottle of champagne? I missed out on that one, then.
Yeah, or a cake with at least something with a candle in it to blow out.
Yeah.
But congratulations to us, eh?
And congratulations to you. Good handshake.
Well done, there. That's a proper handshake.
Spiffing.
To look at you, you wouldn't have thought you would have had a good handshake. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good.
Same can't be said of everyone in the world right now. It's a bit of a crazy time. We're talking about the stuff that's gone on in London and Manchester recently.
Yeah.
And it's not just in the UK. There's stuff going on all the time over in the Middle East, which doesn't make the news as much.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about that and how to kind of practice mindfulness in these tense and nervy times.
Yeah.
But we'll go on to that later.
Yeah, we will.
We will. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for all the show notes and links, which there are a few lined up already, I can see, which I'm going to mention. Stick your email address in the box and we'll send you weekly alerts for this show so you never miss one. And also a mention to our pals at clearmindcushion.com. Use that code SELFHELP, all one word, to get a 10% discount off a fantastic, beautifully engineered meditation cushion.
Amazing.
We will be talking about meditation a little bit in this show. But yeah, check out clearmindcushion.com for more details there. But yeah, what have you been up to, Sean?
Been away. Been in the Yorkshire Dales.
Yeah, week off.
Yeah, brilliant. And Yorkshire Dales, the place we go, a lot of it is out of signal, which is cool. That's good.
Wi-Fi at the house, or
yeah, there was Wi-Fi in the house. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, sadly,
you could switch it off, you know.
Yeah.
Or is everyone sitting there with their phone?
Yeah, no, it was funny that, because sometimes when you look around the room and everyone's on a device.
Yeah, you know, but we're happy.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of the opposite for me. I've been in Northumberland, where I got 4 days up there in the half term, and we're properly off grid there at the caravan. There's no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Into the caravan, we've got a little gas boiler and stuff, so there's hot water.
Have you got a solar panel?
Not yet, no. Thinking about doing it for the summer just so we can keep phones charged and stuff, but it's the opposite there. So whenever we go into the village and you walk past the cafe where we often go in for a cuppa, even if you're just walking past, it's quickly get the phones out and suck up some Wi-Fi while you can get it. And then you've walked past it and then it's gone. But
so how do you keep them charged, though? Do you have to do it in the car? Or?
In the car, yeah. So which we try not to go in the car too much when we're up there, just because it's not that much fun driving around after you've spent 4 hours getting there.
Because of my trips to Qatar, I've been using a power pack.
Yeah.
And you can charge up to 5 times off of that.
Yeah, well, they're pretty good now. And how much did you pay for one of those?
It was about £20.
Because I've seen heavy-duty ones for about £80, which you can then get a decent solar panel for and plug that in.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and it will actually power a laptop as well, rather than just phones. So
this will do.
Oh, cool.
So it's a heavy duty one in some ways. So it's
got USB outputs, has it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Although the new MacBooks charge. Ooh, torch as well.
Yeah.
Doesn't go off.
Yeah, you can't turn it off.
Yeah, the new MacBooks charge via USB, don't they? So I wonder if that would how much of a laptop charge you get. But yeah, if you could plug a solar panel into that.
Yeah.
And charge it, you know, while you're out in the day. That's that's my next little task to get going, but I'm not.
What I was using that for was I was using the iPod, which is an old-fashioned iPod Classic that I love, but keeping it charged using that so I could watch things and listen to things on the aeroplane.
Ah, nice. Yeah, clever. It's cool, isn't it? I mean, yeah, a couple of other things to mention. I got my app. I've smashed my Apple Watch.
Yeah.
So I can't really complain given what's going on in the news right now.
Was it insured?
No. It wasn't.
Is there a lesson in that?
There is definitely a couple of lessons I learned. Yeah, one was about having insurance for your fancy gadgets. Now, I'm going to take it back to John Lewis because I was in the pool mucking around and I don't remember whacking it against the wall or anything, but the whole front screen's cracked off right around the outside.
So the screen's come off rather than...
Yeah, but it's cracked. It's not, like, come out of its fixture, I don't know.
Because you can get screen covers for them.
Yeah, but the trouble was it was been underwater for, and you know, open without me knowing it for half an hour, getting water in there. So there is some kind of life in it, because I've dried it out for a few days and plugged it in, and something came on the screen, a funny symbol which I hadn't seen. So it might come back to life when I can get a new screen.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, that's about as big an issue. I did get sunburnt as well in Northumberland in late May, which is pretty good going, I think. But lesson on the power of the sun.
Yeah.
We've had an email in from a listener just this morning, actually, which, it's just so you know, it's Monday now, and on Saturday there was another terrorist attack in London, late on London Bridge, I believe.
And then down into Borough Market.
Yeah, and then they got out of the van and did a runner and caused all kinds of mayhem.
Yep.
But yeah, a listener who's called herself a nervous Londoner has suggested, how about an episode on how to practice mindfulness under the threat of terrorism. It's a good idea, really. I was thinking about doing something about resilience anyway, and how quickly life goes back to normal, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But we'll come on to that as well, and both, I think, because the whole thing we teach here in Living the Present is how to be mindful when the whole world's going mad. How can you just sit there calm and still?
I think that...
Or do we need that reaction? Do we need to be angry?
There's two things. Yeah. One thing is that we tend to want to practice mindfulness when we need it, as opposed to practicing mindfulness all the time. So it's there when we need it. Yeah. So the ability to be calm, to be in control of yourself, and not allowing the emotions and the fears to run away.
Yep.
Which is a good mindfulness trait, is something that you develop by practicing daily. Yeah. So, and when you practice daily, and you've got quite a bit under your belt, then you're able, when it's there for you to call on. It's like you've got something in the tank, you know.
Cool.
Which is quite important. The second issue is that after any incident, whether it's a terrorist incident or a car accident, anything, is that we have heightened awareness, heightened alertness, which is like a post-traumatic effect. And that's okay, because that keeps us safe. So if you go back to hunter-gatherers, saber-toothed tigers, you know, round the bush, you have to be alert to stay safe.
Yep.
So if there are threats around, we need a level of awareness. And that issue of like, ordinary anxiety is okay. Anxiety disorder is when we're disproportionately scared of things that aren't there.
Yep.
And what terrorists want us to do is to be disproportionately scared.
Yeah, so it's all right for a bit of, you know, that adrenaline kick, just to kind of... That's a natural thing, is just to be initially scared for the first, I don't know, few days after an event.
It's when you look at trauma cycles, it's when we know we're safe. So we go into an incident and everything spikes, all the hormones, adrenaline, all the stress stuff goes right up in the air. And it's at what point does that peak and start to come down again? Because that's the safety area.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may not be down to where it was at the beginning, but it's peaked and it's on its way down. That's the packet that you're looking at when you're dealing with post-trauma or something like that. What's that packet of memory?
Yeah. So initial advice to our nervous Londoner listener is that this is still early days. You know, we're recording this 2 days after the event, so hopefully the nerves will be beginning to settle anyway, naturally.
When you look at trauma cycles, what you'd normally look at would be 4 to 6 weeks, people having maybe some flashbacks, periods of anxiety and agitation and heightened alertness for about 4 to 6 weeks. After that, it tails off. If it lasts for longer than that, then we start looking at the phrase post-traumatic stress disorder, and then the treatment changes.
Right.
Yeah, and you have to be more specific about the treatment. So someone that's been in a battlefield situation is likely to have PTSD rather than simple raised anxiety.
Yeah.
One of the things that is really important when we start to look at this stuff is that it's easy after the event for the media to repeat and to continually go on about what's happened and to build the levels of anxiety within us. It's okay if you can watch this stuff and you're watching it from a more of an information point of view, yes, there's going to be some empathy in there. But if you keep listening to the same broadcast over and over again...
Yeah, well, I found that today. You know, I was working at home today and I stuck the news on while I was beavering away in the background. So you've got the journalist camped outside, you know, where the police cordon is, with the just an empty street behind them. Nothing too exciting, really, but obviously they're trying to... They've got the breaking news thing flashing at the bottom, even though it's not breaking. It's stuff that's 2 days old and...
Yep.
Tiny little developments here and there that they're reporting on, but you soon realise after having it on for an hour or two that they're just kind of desperately trying to fill the time.
Well, bad news is good news as far as the system is concerned, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that to be anxious at this moment is normal. That's okay. And that's what keeps us safe in the long term. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's if... In 2 months' time, people are still having a lot of issues, yeah, then they need to seek help for post-trauma. The issue for the long term is that very often if you were close in on the trauma, it could take you maybe a couple of years to work it out of your system. It doesn't mean to say that you're continually flat in the problem. You're climbing out of it, but it can take 2 years to climb out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that standard emotional cycle is a bit like going through bereavement and going round.
I guess you have kind of like a blast radius. I mean, there's no explosives in this attack, but in terms of like an emotional blast radius, so those that were right in the, you know, on the bridge will have been, they're going to be scarred for maybe life, maybe just a couple of years, who knows, depending on their kind of mental state and capacity. Yeah. But even, like, I don't know how close our listener lives, but let's say she's somewhere in London, that's going to be... Because for me, the Manchester one was obviously a lot closer to where we are here in the northwest, so that was a bigger deal. My wife had been at the Manchester Arena on the Friday before the event, 2 days before, so you wonder, kind of, you start to think, you know, had he planned to do the Take That event instead of the... I can't remember the girl's name. The
Ariana.
Singer. Yeah, Grande.
Yeah.
I didn't know who she was before. That's how old I'm getting. But yeah, she's pretty cool, especially what she did for the gig last night as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. So, but yeah, you have that kind of emotional blast radius, don't you? So for me, I don't know whether I'm desensitized to it, to these things, or it's just because I'm not. You know, I'm just watching it on through a screen, really, rather than...
Yeah.
I've got a brother that lives in central-ish London, so I was kind of, you know, wanted to check out that he was all right straight away. He was cool. I've got cousins that live in London as well. One actually in Vauxhall, who's, you know, super close to all that stuff. She checked in on Facebook to say she was all right, so it was like, cool.
Yeah.
I'm cracking on, I'm smiling, but yeah, you have that.
Yeah. We're going to go through a period of time, aren't we? We don't know how long this is going to last.
Yeah.
But there's this conflict going on globally, and we can apportion blame, we could do all kinds of stuff, but it's in motion, it's flowing. These guys are going to need to make their statements.
Yeah. There's some saying that it's almost, this is kind of a final, the flare, the final stand of ISIS, because they kind of, they've lost a lot of ground in Syria and Mosul, where they've been, you know, pushed out of their strongholds, and this is kind of their final kind of, right, let's cause some mayhem before we're done.
If you look at the idea of, lots of people have said, you know, these guys are cowards. And I guess that if you're serious about having a war and you face people head on, then you face your issues. The idea that you can, the whole terrorist thing about you pop up and do damage and then disappear again, that kind of idea, it does have a kind of cowardice about it. It means that people aren't actually facing up to what it is that they believe. Except for the assumption that I'm making from what I understand of the philosophy of what they're doing, is that the fact that those three guys have been shot from their point of view, they're kind of warriors who have gone to heaven and will get this reward.
Yeah, and I was a bit gutted when I first heard that they had been killed, all three of them, because you kind of, well, I know that instinctively you want them dead, but they're more valuable alive, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because you can get information out of them and, I don't know, maybe even try and mend them in some way. You know, it might take 20, 30 years. You don't know.
But that whole point about trying to indoctrinate people, you know, whether it's, you know, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, you know, that we try to force this way of looking at the world. I mean, I may be kind of naive and simplistic, but it would seem to me in all my travels and my studies that human beings are human beings and we're all a part of the group. And different groups can separate off and say, no, we're better than you are. But if we are all human beings and we are all God's children, whatever that means, and whatever happens at the point of death, what happens to all of us? And if there is an afterlife, then we're all going to get there.
Yep.
I don't know what happens when we get there. I don't know what we have to face, what we have to deal with once we get there. But if we're in that process, then we're all on the same journey.
Yeah.
And we can play games about, you know, I'm better than you and my God's better than your God and we know more than you do and all that kind of stuff, whichever group you are. But when it comes down to it, death is the same for all of us.
I know, and if we are all going to meet wherever it may be, then we're all going to meet these three guys, aren't we, that did this pretty horrendous thing.
It depends on how you see life. You see, when I was doing my Ayurvedic stuff, the philosophies there were about reincarnation. If that was right, I have no way of knowing that it is, but if that is right, then it means that we're all on the same path, going in the same direction. We may be at different places on that path, and there may be some clever dicks that are up the front who've got a lot of knowledge, and some people that are down the back that don't have a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, but it means that we're all on there. Does that mean that at some point we've all been kind of murderers and bad people at some point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's very easy to be critical. And these guys, a percentage of the world is going to say they're bad people.
Yep.
But there's going to be that percentage of the world that say, no, they were great. They were heroes. They died for the cause. And that idea about one man's terrorist being one man's freedom fighter, it leaves us with a whole load of dilemmas as to what we do. And one of the things about being British is the British Reserve has always been to be the reasonable chaps. Yeah, and we've allowed things to happen. Maybe that other countries wouldn't have allowed to happen, maybe, I don't know. And maybe we're not as brash or as tough, certainly on the surface.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? I don't know.
You start to, when things like this happen, you do get some amazing stories come out of it. First of all, obviously, the emergency services, whether it be the paramedics that were running, you know, towards the danger to help people.
I think that's absolutely fabulous. The people that have that presence of mind whilst everyone's running away from something.
Mm.
To actually run towards it and do something about it.
Yep.
And I don't know whether there's a lesson in that for all of us, which is, do we run away from this or do we run towards it and sort it out?
Yep.
I remember black and white movies of great columns of Jews being sort of herded along by a few guys with guns.
Yeah.
And thinking, when I was watching these as a child, thinking that if everybody turned round, okay, a few of them would die, but they could actually take out these guys.
Take these guys out.
Mm. But we don't. We become, I don't know, a bit mindless in it, and we forget that we are people with great potentials ourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. The paramedics... It looks like the police did a pretty awesome job.
I'm amazed. They were on there 8 minutes. They went from the first phone call to actually taking the terrorists out. You know, yeah. I mean, that is quite an incredible response.
Yeah, good going. And then you get cool stories. Well, not cool, but about brave stories. I think it was like a baker that owned a shop nearby. He was lobbing crates of bread at the terrorists who were trying to come at him. and then he helped shelter 20 people in his shop, stop them getting in and... Yeah, you just get these powerful stories out of things like this, don't you?
And it is that people do find the kind of hero within themselves when they're challenged sometimes.
Yeah.
And I mean, to need to get out of it is the natural response. I'm not criticising people that get out of it. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah, there's one of the girls, I think the first person that was kind of named as being killed in the attack, Chrissy Archibald, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents, she was Canadian, and her parents, like, within 24 hours of knowing that the daughter was dead, had sent this amazing message, you know, to the world, saying that how great she was and what she'd done in her life, kind of helping the homeless, and that, you know, basically telling people rather than getting angry to, you know, go out and do something in your community to help it and volunteer at a homeless shelter, donate, and tell them that Chrissy sent you, which is just, like, I don't know if I'd have the courage to... to come out with a statement like that, you know, 24 hours after my child had been killed.
But the that whole thing about it's really good. The Manchester concert, there were so many positive songs and positive messages of love and people coming together.
Yeah, the one last night.
I mean, it was quite extraordinary. And that idea about we have choices, that we either focus on the negative, and then I guess you'd say that the terrorists have won, or we focus on the positive. And it's like, who can we help? Who can we look after? Who can we make better? Mm-hmm. Who can we make this situation turn into something positive? And if you look at the whole thing, I always go back to Gandhi, and Gandhi managed to overturn the British Empire in India by peaceful means.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't need to go around killing people to achieve the state of India.
I know. There's a chap on the political scene at the moment who is getting a bit of attack. And in fact, actually, when this episode goes out, it's polling day in the UK, general election.
Yeah,
we've got that on the cards too. And Jeremy Corbyn, who has some different ideas on kind of nuclear deterrent kind of things, the shoot-to-kill policy that police used really effectively a couple of nights ago. Mm. He's not super comfortable with police having guns and going out and shooting people, right? Which, you know, I can see why people aren't too keen. I'm not comparing him to Gandhi. But I don't know, maybe, I don't know. He's just got a different way of doing things, hasn't he? We've been facing this threat of terror, inverted commas, for whatever it is, 15, 20 plus years.
Yeah, it's gone back for more than that. We've had Ireland.
In its current sense, yeah.
And
in fact, I'm going to post a link to statistics, and they never really help in things like this, but if you look back at the chart to show how many terrorist attacks there have been, or deaths in the UK over the last 30, 40 years, then the last 20 years in particular has been staggeringly low, really, apart from a couple of little flare-ups this year in particular and in the 7/7 bombings in 2005. So we're doing well, aren't we? And we need to just make sure we don't go crazy and react in a bad way, because that's what the terrorists want, isn't it?
But one of the other things that we don't know is that the services say that we've only had 3 attacks that have got through, but they've actually thwarted something like 50-odd attacks that they don't publicise, that we don't know about.
Yeah.
So things could have been a whole size worse than they actually are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I hope that out of these things that people will come together, that there will be issues of love and care. You know, and I really hope that we don't turn on our own people, you know, that we don't turn on anyone whose skin's darker than pink, you know, and accuse them of things that are just completely untrue and unfair. One of the things that happened after the London bombing, and it doesn't seem to have knife attack, and it doesn't seem to have hit too much of the headlines, is that within 24 hours of that event, the Muslim community had raised £17,000 to help those affected. You know, and they're good guys. You know, they're not them, they're us.
Exactly.
They're our community. And they got stuck in like everybody else and did what they could, which at that time was raise some dosh for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is just so powerful. A lot of the guys that were doing the taxiing, running people around for free in Manchester after the bombings were Muslim. You know, it wasn't a case of, and this is the problem, it's not a Muslim Christian or a Muslim Gentile kind of issue. We're talking about extremists, and you can get mad extremists in any group of people. Yeah, but you can't write the group of people off because of that.
Yep.
You know.
That's right. Well, I think there's one in the White House at the moment. He seems to be doing a good job of trying to tear communities apart and separate.
Yeah. But in the end, you know, as Gandhi said, if we go for an eye for an eye, then in the end everybody's blind.
Mm.
You know.
Should we take this opportunity to offer Mr. Trump a free 1-hour counselling session with you? World-famous therapist, Sean Offord.
I think we should.
Donald Trump, this year, if you're listening, give us a call or just email us via the website and we'll set up a little completely private...
I'd really want to take my hairdresser with me. to help him out.
He always, that's step number one, sort your hair out. Blimey. Anyway, yeah, interesting times we live in, hey?
In terms of mindfulness and how do you deal with this stuff going on? Yes, get into mindful meditation, download Headspace, any of those apps, you know, MindPilot, any of those that will help you. One of the issues with trying to still your mind when you're going through this kind of what might be like an emotional overload, number one, 7-11 breathing. Every time you, that means you breathe in for 7 and out for a count of 11, or near as you can get to that. And that means every time you do that, the level of stress hormones, every breath, will reduce in your system. So if you feel yourself getting anxious or having a bit of a panic, 7-11 breathing will bring it down. That's number one. Number two is that if you use a sound-based meditation rather than a breath-based meditation, because when you're using breath, if you're anxious, it's all over the place. If you start to use your sound, so which would be transcendental-type meditations, but you could Google.
Yep.
But if you're using a sound, the sound takes over the anxiety, and it's easier to focus on a sound than to focus on a breath. Yeah, and that can bring you down quite quickly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're worried about things and worried about the day, go to the Mindfulness Talker on the Live in the Present site and use the morning focus meditation to get your head right before you leave the house.
Yep.
You know, get that positive focus on rather than rehearsing the negative.
Have you worked with any individuals that, not like, I don't know, jihadis, but people that you think or have admitted to you that might have been going down a path of violence?
No, I've worked with criminals, but I've never worked with people that are have that kind of religious extreme.
Or any kind of, I'm talking of anyone that's maybe on the verge of committing some kind of violence to another person that you've had to bring back.
Yeah. I have worked with criminal gangs and criminal areas, stuff like that. And one point doing a bit of mediation between two gangs. I've done that kind of stuff. But one of the problems that you always get in any of these situations, and it's something that we've touched on before, is the issue of psychosis. And we think of this, the psychotic as being the mad murderers, but people that are on the psychotic spectrum can act without empathy or insight. And it's easier to do those kind of terror acts if you haven't got empathy or insight.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's going to be those kinds of issues at play in it. And when you have psychopaths, you can't really do a lot. You can do some talking therapies with them, but most of the time it's medication that you need, really.
Yeah, there's a movie called Four Lions, which is a comedy, but it's quite a kind of heartfelt, bittersweet one, which is quite cutting edge, like edgy stuff, so it might not be quite suitable to watch just yet, so close to something like this. But it basically follows four jihadis in the UK from, like, I think it was released in 2005-ish, 2006. Mm-hmm. So it's a comedy stroke drama, and it just kind of, it semi kind of ridicules the way of life that they are, because it is a comedy, but at the same time it's quite kind of heartfelt in the sense that you kind of do feel sorry for these four guys that are kind of stumbling their way through life and mucking up at every turn, and it's dead funny, but it's also
poignant.
Poignant, yeah. Really, because these guys are quite lonely, I think, and they're quite sheltered in the lives they lead. And you know, you can imagine now the kind of the people that have done these attacks recently, sitting in their apartments or whatever with the curtains shut, chatting with their pals about all sorts of crazy ideas. When you know, there's a whole world out there that they could be experiencing, and they, I feel sorry for them. They're not here with us, you know. I don't know how we reach out to them. Kind of say,
I think love is the only tool that we have that's going to work in the end.
Because they'll have neighbours, won't they, that they probably chat to. Because I remember seeing the guy in the Manchester that blew himself up and took a load of kids with him, crackers, but like, there was CCTV of him a couple of weeks before or a week before taking out his recycling bin down his path, and I saw that, and it just kind of
in his sandals.
Yeah, it kind of tickled me in some kind of way, because he's kind of off, he's got these crazy ideas in his head, but at the end of the day, he's still, I like the way he was still doing his recycling, he was still putting his grey bin out, you know?
Yeah. There is a normality in that.
Yeah, and you just wonder if, I don't know, maybe if people, I'm not blaming the people that live around him, but if people were more connected in terms of just having a chat with your neighbour, like, I don't know, maybe we've all got to take responsibility at some point, haven't we?
Yeah.
Just look after each other.
Yeah. Okay, what are you going to do for a resource?
I've got the UK Solidarity Fund, which is donating money to the British Red Cross, both for the Manchester and London stuff that's going on, and, you know, future things. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen, but it seemed like a good one for me.
I'm going to post up as a blog the blog that I'm going to recycle one that we did when we were doing the Live in the Present course online here.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to post up the blog, which is about the law of allowing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Which can be a bit tough. Allowing the mad people to be mad without joining them, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a good, but a tough lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to bung that up.
Cool. I should also mention we had a chat with our pal Rahman, didn't we?
Yeah.
A few months back about
lovely guy.
Islam. Yeah. We spent an hour chatting with him about Islam from his perspective, or the moderate perspective that most people won't know about.
And that has absolutely nothing to do with what's happened. Is it? It's like what's happened isn't Islam. That's not Islam.
No.
You know, that's just negativity. And maybe putting a link up to that.
Yeah, I'll try and remember to do that as well.
Yeah.
Livingthepresent.co.uk. Check it out and share this show or any other you listen to with a pal, or put it on Twitter and Facebook if you can, so you can spread our message far and wide.
You nearly said massage.
Massage, yeah. We need to do an episode on that. All right, Sean.
Yeah, I'm good.
See you next week.
You take care.
Take it easy. Bye.